Colonel Rob Maness has a lifelong record of providing dedicated service to this nation. Having worked his way up from the enlisted ranks to full colonel, he served our country for more than 32 years. He has served as a bomber squadron commander, bomb disposal technician, Joint Chiefs of Staff Operations Officer, assisted the National Security Team with the campaign plan for the global war on terrorism. He authored the first theater nuclear war plan and served as the vice commander of America's largest airborne intelligence wing. Colonel Rob Maness is a true American hero. This is Rob Maness Live.
The upcoming election is a pivotal one. It will decide if the momentum back to prosperity continues or if we face more gridlock. Holding the House matters now more than ever. Hi, I'm Michael Maxenti, and I'm running for Congress to move legislation forward that will lower the cost of living, support economic growth, and hold Washington accountable. I was born and raised in Southern California. I'm not a career politician. I worked my way up from entry-level jobs to owning my own business right here in Orange County. This is my home, and I'm ready to fight for it. Right now, Democrats are more interested in scoring political points and turning Congress into a stalemate. This hurts families here in Orange County who need action now, not two more years of political games. Career politicians have prioritized special interests while hardworking Americans are left behind. People are tired of obstruction and party politics. They want results. California is home to the highest taxes, most expensive housing, and the highest energy costs in the country. Today, even with two incomes, families struggle to afford the basic necessities. While we have seen real improvements in the last 12 months, our work must continue. I believe in putting people over policy with real solutions that actually help families and our communities. Join me in the fight for freedom, opportunity, and a government that serves its citizens first. I'm asking for your support. Let's hold the House and bring common sense back to Washington. I'm Michael Maxenti, running for California Congressional District 47, one of the country's most beautiful places, and I will always put people over policy.
Welcome back to the Rob Maness Show, and we're live on Worldview Tube and X Spaces simulcast. Well, today I'm excited to welcome that man, Michael Maxenti, the Republican candidate for California's 47th Congressional District, right there in Orange County. And Michael is a true fighter for common sense leadership. He's born and raised in Southern California. He spent 20 years in corporate America. He spent 20 years as an entrepreneur building his own publishing business and 20 years as a grassroots activist and activism standing up for accountability and putting people first. That grabbed me when I saw and heard that, and I wanted to interview this man. His campaign slogan says it all, putting people over policy in Orange County first. Michael's running to tackle the issues that matter most to families, as you just heard, lowering the crushing cost of living, securing our borders, restoring public safety, protecting parental rights and education, making America healthy again, and ensuring reliable, affordable energy. He's committed to political reform and bringing real integrity back to Washington. Michael Maxenti is a leader Orange County and America needs right now. Michael, welcome to the show, sir. It's great to have you with us today. Let's dive into this. But first, I have to ask you, what is the one personal thing that led you to run for Congress?
The remembrance of the sacrifice of my buddies who went off to Vietnam and died there, who came back, many of them severely wounded and never the same. And the remembrance of my father's, who was in World War II there in France and Germany, Battle of the Bulge, all of the sacrifices, and that I had been blessed. I was four digits away from going to Vietnam in my draft. And when I saw what was happening to our country in 2010, I turned to my wife and I said, this is my time to serve. God's calling me to serve. And that's what I've been doing and committed to ever since.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your service as well. I mean, you were actually one of those people who went into the military and put your life there. You didn't know what you were going to face or what difficulties you were going to be asked to overcome.
That's
You know,
right.
when I was had my father, I took him out of a nursing home right after he got diagnosed with a 4 months to live, and I said, my dad's not going to be in a nursing home. I moved him in. When I was going through all of his papers and his military papers, I came across his enlistment documents and all the papers that he, and when he signed up, length of service was duration. And it wasn't 1 or 2 years, duration. And that they didn't know if that was going to be 6 weeks, 6 months, or the rest of their lives.
That's right. That's right. And when you sign those documents, take that oath to defend the Constitution, and as an enlisted person, follow the orders of the commander in chief, the president, and the officers appointed above you, it's a very serious statement. It's not trivial. It's not about pay. It's not about education benefits. It's about the blank check that you're signing for your country. And that's a good reason, my friend, a good reason. But man, I don't often interview candidates from California, but I have. You're not the first, but you're the first this year, because this year is critically important. And I was shocked when I saw that congressional districts in Orange County were going to Democrats. Because when I grew up, Ronald Reagan was the first president I ever voted for. I knew that Orange County is the Republican conservative, the bastion of everything else could go to, you know what, in California, but Orange County would still be there. But it's they're going after it, aren't they?
Well, not just now going after it. When I moved here from San Diego and L.A., when I moved here in 1975, it was a solid conservative Republican community, 100%. Now there's only one partial district representative right now that we have out of our seven seats, and it's all gone Democrat. And a lot of people say, "Oh, it was just the shifting demographics." No, the big reason was in California, as the demographics was changing, those in leadership in our party didn't understand that they needed to stay within the principles of the Republican Party, that which Abraham Lincoln founded and saved our country on 150 years ago. They tried to impose social issues onto this changing demographic, and over time severely hurt themselves. And in Orange County, you add to that the voter fraud that we know exists. And so it's a real dramatic change. But this district that I'm running in against David Minn, who is a prototypical career politician, this district, which is the only self-contained Orange County district left, we have had the benefit of being targeted by a couple of very good voter integrity local groups that have been working for 2 years to clean up our voter rolls. And then the AG and Trump focused on it as well to help us. And they just purged, I think the number was 176,000 voters who had died, moved out, et cetera, off the voter rolls. And in all of California right now, our district is perhaps the cleanest voter rolls of any. And this gentleman, David Minn, is, I believe, the most opportune district we have to flip a currently held Democrat seat back to Republican, but only doing it with a coalition. Because in California, you don't win without a coalition that can incorporate the independents and the soft Democrat, the Mohawk community in it. That's how Trump did significantly better in this district in 2024 than he did in 2020. And the only way we win in California is part of a coalition.
Yeah, y'all have jungle primary like Louisiana does, don't you? So the timing's different, but it works the same way, right?
I'm not 100% sure on Louisiana, but here we have.
Oh, I am. I ran for U.S. Senate in the jungle primary. Yeah. It's a free for all candidates trying to get as many votes as you can, and anybody can vote for you.
Yeah, and it's the situation here is the control of those gatekeepers to allow candidates to move through to the general election, because it is only the top two vote getters in the open primary that advance to the general election in November. But the gatekeepers have prioritized, the Republican gatekeepers have prioritized here in Orange County and throughout the state to a similar degree, but firsthand here. It's all about your loyalty to the party and how much money either you can self-fund or raise immediately. Your credentials, your ability to get elected after that is secondary at best. And loyalty to the party trumps, not, and I don't mean that President Trump, takes priority over or your over your credentials and ability to get elected and then do the job.
Well, let's juxtapose that. I mean, you spent 20 years in the corporate world. You've spent 20 years building your own business as an entrepreneur, and you've spent 20 years in you know, grassroots activism, those kind of things. Why wouldn't somebody look at you and go, hey, this guy's loyal to the party?
Well, because they, and this came clear to me during the endorsement process and the endorsement interview, and then after, a little bit after, what came clear was their recognition that they could not control me within the party structure that they wanted. That I was an independent thinking Republican who had spent 15 years, and not to correct, but 16 years now, where I had left after 40 years being a Republican and being known throughout Laguna Beach and wherever I was as a hard Reagan Republican. But when I saw our party in 2010 bail out the banks, while 8 million Americans had lost their homes and 15 plus million Americans were unemployed. Mm-hmm. And then over the next 6 months, the two parties couldn't come together and deliver quality health care for Americans. That's when I decided that I needed to find out what was at the crux of this. And I learned real quick that it was the corruption of the leadership of both parties. So I stepped out. I resigned from the Republican Party, became a no party preference voter in California, so that I could work alongside people like Ross Perot and others to try to reform our entire system. And so I did that. And they then listed off, well, you were NPP, you went to NPP, you then helped with the try to launch the Common Sense Party, the Forward Party, the American Independent Party. You've worked outside, and we're concerned if you go to Washington, you might just try to start a new party. And I said, well, yeah, because of the situation, Trump's talked about it, Kennedy's talked about it, a lot of people, Ross Perot, because the goal I've worked on for all these years is how to fix our system so that our party now can lead the charge back to its founding principles and put people, our country, and the Constitution ahead of a particular party. And our party now under Trump has given us that opportunity to create the grand new party, not the old party of the Bushes and the Cheneys who sold us out like the other party had, but truly bring our party back to deliver the promise of America and the putting people first. And they didn't like that. They brought in a woman from Northern California who was a person who, I think you'll appreciate this in the audience. After I had stepped down, because they made it clear, mm-hmm. and that's another mm-hmm. story. But I learned then that she's proud to say that, yes, I moved to California 18 years ago. And for the first 12 years, I was a no party preference voter. And during 2020, COVID, our state was so mishandling the lockdowns, I got angry and I had to look up the name of our governor. I found out that this guy, Gavin Newsom, was our governor. So I decided to run for governor. And she joined the Republican Party and then runs for governor in the recall, gets 23rd place. And it immediately runs again the next year in the regular election for governor. And the arrogance of that demonstrates somebody who came up from an elite background on the University of Virginia. She went to Columbia School, got her MBA, worked for Bain Consulting for 10 years.
And somewhere along the line, those the consultant elite mentality took over, and that she would think she could come into our state at 18 and 12 years, be didn't even know the name of the governor, and then all of a sudden she's going to run our state.
And we're going to talk about that in a couple of segments in detail, in a lot more detail than this, because I'm very curious. I'm going to show your video that you put out, not this coming segment, but the one after it, about your re-entry into the race, because I found that very, very interesting. But next segment, I want to talk to you about MAHA and the policies that you want to fight for, because I'll be honest, the folks that brought you to my attention were my friends in the MAHA movement, and I consider myself part of that. And it's been very successful getting the president and his cabinet in. So I'm interested in hearing what you have to say about it and bringing it forward. We'll be right back with Michael Maxenti. He is a congressional candidate, the one you really want to pay attention to on the Republican side in CD47 in California. We'll be right back.
I just finished a workout and I'm thinking about something bigger than personal health. Because making America healthy again isn't just about how we live, it's about whether the systems around us are actually working for the people. Right now, there's a federal law, the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act, that shields vaccine manufacturers from most lawsuits. A bill was introduced to revisit that protection, and Congress hasn't even brought it up for debate. Because when systems aren't accountable, people pay the price. This isn't about being pro or anti-vaccine. It's just about accountability. When a law hasn't been seriously re-examined in decades, and Congress won't even debate it, that's not oversight. That's avoidance. We need truth, accountability, and ethical leadership in Washington. Leaders willing to ask the hard questions and put people over the system, put people over policy always. That's why I'm in this race. I'm Michael Maxenti, and I'm running for Congress in California's 47th district, right here in Orange County, California. Thank you.
So do the same for her, please. And of course,
welcome back to the Rob Banas Show, folks. And we are, you have technology issues when you're on live TV, and that just happened to the show. And we showed Michael's, I think his reentry videos, what that was. So let's talk about that. In the next segment, we'll show the MAHA video, I believe. Michael, what is it? You know, you mentioned this opponent and everything, but why would the party gatekeepers go with a candidate like that instead of one that's been a rock-ribbed Reagan Republican all his life and had the and has the courage to step up and say and speak when his party's wrong and speak with his feet? I don't have a problem with that. I've done it before myself for a short period of time.
There's a couple of the gatekeepers, one being the treasurer, a guy named John Fleshman, who right off the bat when I announced that I was running and came and said, "You're not a real Republican. You tried to help start the Common Sense Party, da 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 da." And hey, and really belligerent to me about the fact that I had not been consistent with the party. And yet the hypocrisy that turns out later on, a year later, when they bring in somebody who'd only become a Republican 6 years ago, when she decided to run for the race, as I described a minute ago. I don't understand it other than the fact that they know that I'm there putting the people first, and they wanted somebody there that that they could control. I'm certainly not a Trump, but I'm certainly not somebody that's going to put party over people and the principles of our party. I believe deeply in the Republican principles. So I can't answer that question beyond it. But this woman that they brought down, either they didn't do the research on her well, but she, in our interview, made three really important statements that turned out to be total false lies that I didn't learn until after stepping down. So for the audience's benefit, real quickly, at this interview, she stated how she had all this money, cash on hand already raised in just a few days, how she and her husband were going to put in this $200,000, immediately launch the campaign, and she had the biggest name in fundraising on her campaign team to do her fundraising, and she had experience running for governor, and she had all these contacts back with Fox News and with NRCC. And Mike, you've never ran before. She's got more cash on hand. She's got the experience, but at the same token, you have the independent community support, the Maha community support. Together, you guys could win. And so they made it a point to give her the endorsement and then to make the point strongly with me that they wanted me to step down and support her. They gave me the only of 38 endorsements, negative endorsement. The chairman asked for, can I get a motion to give Michael a negative endorsement? So moved, and they voted unanimously to do that. And that started the next day a series of conversations that I had with Jenny Ray LaRue. And over that Sunday and Monday, where she convinced me how we could work together like Trump and Kennedy, and with me bringing the Maha community and the independent community because of my deep roots in both, that we could win this as a team. Well, so I stepped down. She's 45 years old and on the surface looked great until I got behind the curtain and it was a totally different person. And then I learned quickly over the next few days and weeks that she was, in my opinion, a total fraud, and she had lied on these major issues. And then it was a choice. Do I stay in this battle and support somebody who I have lost respect for, who is exactly what I've been fighting against for all these years in the reform effort? I mean, we've got to go beyond politicians who will take surveys, go with nice polished messages to the voters and tell them everything they want to hear, ask for their money and their vote and get that, get elected, go off to Washington or Sacramento, and then do what the leadership, the old corrupt leadership of the party would do, or the money was paying them to do. And that's why we've got these significant issues. And she represents that, in my opinion, to the T. And I said, I was reflecting on my childhood local hero in my hometown of Torrance, Louis Zamperini, and who that movie and book was written about, Unbroken. And I was thinking about that. I watched that movie that evening with my wife, and I realized that he didn't quit, inspired me again. And then as I was being flown back to Washington, D.C. to speak on the mall at the beautiful rally, Iran rally on March 29th, in front of the Capitol building and the Washington Monument, I saw the movie Nuremberg. And the point of the Nuremberg trials in this movie was that not the reason Hitler was able to do what he did was not enough people stood up. And I was reflecting on that on my flight back on Monday from Washington, D.C. And I said, I'm not going to quit and I'm not going to stay seated. I'm going to stand up and fight this all the way, because if we don't change the standard about who we elect into office and we don't elect people right now that can hold that majority, that can support Trump's agenda and hold everybody, though, accountable to the people in the Constitution. But if we don't hold Congress, all the reform efforts so many people have fought for and so many Americans have died for these our principles would be for naught. And I said, I've got to get back in the race. I talked to Jenny and I told her everything I'm just saying here on the air. Mm-hmm. I said that and a lot more to her, why I could no longer support her and why I was considering and then rejoining the race against her.
So, man, a lot there. I have faced similar things in my political runs for political office. The establishment Republicans don't like anybody that they don't think they can control. Because they're in power due to forces that are way beyond just voting. And they stay in power due to forces that have nothing to do with voting because they're reelected at a rate of over 90%. Those forces usually involve money and lots of it and those kind of things. But What is a negative endorsement from a political party? I've never even had that issued against.
No, because they wanted to make the point, we need you to stand down and throw your support. Because when I first made the commitment to run, I went to the chairman of the party and I said, Will, if you can find somebody with better credentials, more electable than myself that I could get behind, I will stop my campaign in a heartbeat and throw 100% of my support behind that person. I said that to Will and to many others in the leadership of the party continuously for a year, because at my age, the last thing I wanted to be doing was have to go to Washington away from my new grandchildren and my family to do this. But at the same token, when I made that commitment that I was in this for the duration, I meant that. And so I was going to do whatever I could do until I can't to help reform our party and our government and get our government on the side of the people and back on its principles. And so, and then when they did this 28 hours before the endorsement process closed, without even giving me the courtesy of a phone call or anything, they brought her in and started this process that I just described.
Wow. It's unfortunate because we'll talk about this probably in the next segment. I want to take a question from my live audience here real quick. Unfortunately, they are not seeing the facts. And the facts are, as Indiana's primaries from yesterday show us, is that we can do it. I just published my first book, and it's all about how we can answer the question, what can I do about that? The kids in Indiana, the young people, and Republicans with honor stood up, and they kicked most of the people that kept redistricting from happening that were Republicans out of the state Senate just yesterday. That's fantastic. We can do it. Let's take this question from the live audience. Go ahead. Shell is our host over there.
We have Misty, sir.
I 100% what you're saying about the Republican Party, but my question is that California had some of the strictest mandates during COVID, and you also have some outrageous, egregious laws on different topics. What would you do to make sure that residents of California would have more freedom and not have to follow these mandates that weren't even laws, and protect their rights to the pursuit of happiness and to continue in, so that these emergencies can't overtake and squash their livelihoods?
Good question.
It's a great question, but it's more appropriately directed to if I was running for California Senate or the legislature, because the federal has some limitations there, but we can pass some laws for medical freedom at the federal level that can hopefully dictate to the states, because federal law does supersede that, so that they cannot force people into vaccinations or anything else that would jeopardize their job and their freedoms. So I'd have to look into it. I wouldn't want to give you just a superficial answer that it's a great question, but from the federal level, I'm not 100% sure what can be done there.
Yeah, it's tough because here's an example I'll talk about before we go to the break here in a minute. One of the examples is the CDC's childhood vaccination schedule. That is not mandatory. It's developed by the national CDC, but it is not presented to the states as something that is mandatory. But the states take it and they use that as a mandatory requirement. And a lot of them strictly adhere to that CDC recommended vaccinations, even though the CDC was recommending the COVID vaccine for children, which was completely nuts. Okay, to put an EUA vaccine that's using new technology and there's so many unknowns about it, into a child's body is unconscionable. But it was the states that I found that were taking the CDC's list and just flipping it and making it a mandatory list, and parents' rights were being and kids' rights were being trampled over. We got to take another break, Michael. When we come back, we will show that MAHA video of you, I think it is, talking about medical policy, and we could talk about this some more. But I want to get your take on what I talked about earlier, which is the redistricting primary elections that happened in Indiana, and how you think that might impact in California. We'll be right back with Michael Maxine, congressional candidate, Republican for CD47 in California.
News is moving faster than ever, and so are we. Worldview Tube brings you 24/7 live stream coverage, and now, real-time alerts when it matters most. Once you have the Worldview Tube app installed, exit the app and navigate your way to settings. In settings, locate the tab labeled Notifications. Select the Notifications tab. Scroll down until you locate the Worldview Tube app icon. Select the tab, and here you can turn on and customize your notification experience for the Worldview Tube app. News doesn't wait, and neither should you. Turn on push notifications to stay informed. Every headline as it happens.
I just finished a workout, and I'm thinking about something bigger than personal health. Because making America healthy again isn't just about how we live, it's about whether the systems around us are actually working for the people. Right now, there's a federal law, the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act, that shields vaccine manufacturers from most lawsuits. A bill was introduced to revisit that protection, and Congress hasn't even brought it up for debate. Because when systems aren't accountable, people pay the price. This isn't about being pro or anti-vaccine. It's just about accountability. When a law hasn't been seriously re-examined in decades, and Congress won't even debate it, that's not oversight. That's avoidance. We need truth, accountability, and ethical leadership in Washington. Leaders willing to ask the hard questions and put people over the system, put people over policy always. That's why I'm in this race. I'm Michael Maxine, and I'm running for Congress in California's 47th District, right here in Orange County, California. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Rob Maida Show. We're live on Worldview Tube and our X Spaces simulcast. And my guest today is that man, Michael Maxine. And Michael, I wanted to devote a segment to MAHA because you are heavily involved in the MAHA movement. And personally, I think the president had the successes he had in California in large part due to the MAHA coalition that now Secretary of HHS, Bobby Kennedy, brought to the election process. And the coalition that reelected President Trump, which was really from a historical perspective, was a small miracle, to be honest with you.
It was a big miracle.
Yeah. Yeah. So you talked about the vaccination list and the bill and those kind of things. Are there any other bills at the federal level that you're tracking on that either haven't been acted on or are running into problems that you want to take on when you get there?
Yeah, there's an important one. I'm just looking up the number again, but it's this new one that just got introduced by the Democrats with 203 members signing on to it that is called the Mamnamus Bill, I believe they're referring to it as, which is a way to work around to get every pregnant woman in America for them to be able to track the vaccines that they're taking. And as a way of encouragement, and they give them under emergency medical situations like a COVID or other, gives them dramatically increased powers automatically as well. It's all about the vaccine companies working through legislation to try to increase in their use of vaccines for their profitability. That segment that I talked about there, this where they're trying to work around it, mm-hmm. as you finished the last segment, Rob, that is something right here in California where they went back because of the new vaccine schedule that they introduced, which dramatically reduced the requirements here. the California separate went back to the CDC requirements as of January of 2025, before Trump took office, as the state requirements, which had the old regulations. And it is tragic here in California, where the most recent numbers show that 1 in 8 kids, boys in California born today, are exhibiting symptoms of autism. Now, few are born with autism because that has to come through the mother's milk and that. But after the vaccines, there's dramatic correlations that have been made. And what Kennedy's trying to bring is gold science to really hard investigate what's the connection between the amount of vaccines, the materials in those vaccines, and the dramatic rise in autism. And yes, I've been involved. I got involved with the Kennedy campaign and worked my butt off for them, which then became the Trump campaign. And then I was one of the county, I was part of the state and part of the national leadership team for Kennedy. And I so admire him, and he's one of the inspirations behind why I'm doing this, because we have to codify those pieces of new changes that he is making within the healthcare industry to really make it a healthcare system and make America healthy again.
Yeah, my youngest son is autistic, and he was born at a time in the early 2000s when the full regimen of these new vaccine schedule. And I have, and I was for a military family, so I have his shot records from when he was, given his baby shots the whole time till now when he's adult. And I have my own because I'm a military brat, my own DOD shot records. And you use the term correlation. There's definitely a correlation that I want to see investigated. That's why I supported Kennedy getting into the coalition with President Trump. I saw that as the best opportunity to get Trump back in office and have him implement new policies and get people around him like Kennedy to try to help do that and everything. And it is dramatic, the amount of dosages. They may get a similar number of needles at one time, but dosages of different things is like it's over 500% more than what I got at the same time in my life, what my youngest son got. So I want it investigated. I think parents have a right to call for it to be investigated with proper scientific, like you said, and he said, and Kennedy has said, gold standard science, and get away from this politically tainted guesswork. That's what I call it. That's going on. It's really propaganda. And it's does nothing but do a disservice to our children, our families, and our own health. You know, do you think, what do you think of the credibility of the medical community in the United States post-pandemic?
I'm so glad you asked that question, because I almost wanted to interrupt you with something there before this question. We have relied upon these studies that give validation to the use of these vaccines and other medical procedures, not just vaccines. But one of my dear friends for the last 60 years just passed away 2 days ago. At one time, he was the president of the American Toxicology Association. He started telling me 30 years ago when he was a doctor and that, Mike, how absolutely corrupt these journals and all of these studies that he has found, because he was telling me 30 years ago how his father, who was a doctor as well, would be turning over in their grave to see that most of these studies are done for people to advance their careers, to keep their job, or to make money on them, so that the integrity behind these peer-reviewed studies was, in his opinion, a joke and a nightmare, because they were there to support the industry, not to give the truth to the people. And that's where this Medical Freedom Act, which is right now being introduced at some of the state levels, I would want to dramatically and quickly get that at the federal level, so that we have real science, as Kennedy refers to it as gold level science. And we give people the freedom. We give them the opportunity to make those medical decisions with good information on their own. And the way doctors are being paid and bonused based on the percentage of their clients that take vaccines, and those kind of inducements has got to be made public and stopped. And those liabilities behind that, that's the only industry, folks, that has liability shields, that has no liability for their products. That has to be taken away. They have to be liable for what they're doing. And that will dramatically change the quality of their products and the information they put forth.
Yeah, it's interesting because before the first Trump administration, it was actually against the law for doctors in their own practice to post their rates and the difference between a rate if you have insurance, private insurance, if you have government insurance, or if you're just paying out of pocket, because those differences, those numbers are dramatically different. I mean, in very large numbers, and people would get surprised by that. That's one of the things that I want to push for, like you, is more transparency on the doctors and providers' part, on the pharmaceutical industry's part, and on the hospitals. Because under Obamacare, that concept, doctors have been drawn to working directly for hospitals, and hospitals act like organs of the government more and more every day. That's why they were able to get away with the pandemic policies that were egregious. Completely egregious, and the good people that saw that and stood up were crushed by federal, state, and local governments, in some cases taken to court and criminalized, and those kind of things. So are you going to fight for reducing the government's power in the healthcare system, maybe even getting rid of Obamacare and having establishing solid policies that will help private medical care thrive and make it affordable for the average citizen?
Yeah, we need to totally step back and rethink our entire medical industry. Right now, and I want to answer your question about the insurance. Insurance is hugely important because when people aren't aware of the costs and third-party payers are paying it, that's where, and then you've got the government taxes, our tax dollars paying that. It's ballooned way beyond why we pay more than double what the next nearest nation pays in healthcare. And yet the deliverables and the results of our system are far worse than any other industrialized country. We've got a closed loop system where big corporations, you know, like BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard, and the rest of them, they own the majority controlling interests of our farming industry, our processing, food processing industry, the insurance companies, and the deliverables, the hospitals and medical care deliverables on it. So they're selling us products, knowingly processing them that help make us sicker. And they look at us as an asset that when you get into their sick, you now are somebody that can make them more and more money throughout your entire life. And we've got to change that. We need to step back. But our Congress in particular is what I take exception to. They have abrogated their responsibilities of oversight for years in a growing, irresponsible way that's got to change. And that's where somebody going there like myself at my stage of life, I'm not going there for a career. I'm going there. I'm not worried about stepping on toes and making people uncomfortable. I'm going there without that muffler to be able to speak on behalf of the people and behalf of our Constitution. Because I'm not worried about going to be there for 20 years. I'm only going there for the short term to be able to help solve these problems and take the bullets that some of those good people in Congress need leaders who can take those bullets so that they can stand up and do the right thing.
Courage is contagious. Courage is contagious. And if yep. all you need is 10 people with courage in the House of Representatives and five or six with courage in the U.S. Senate, on the Republican side, and the rest will follow. Believe it or not, it does happen.
Well, Michael, they can take coverage. They can take cover behind those others.
Exactly. We're going to take our last break. When we come back, we'll continue this discussion because I want to give you the chance to talk about even more policies that we haven't chatted about yet on why you're the best guy for CD 47. I'm convinced of it, but I vote in Mississippi. We'll be right back with Michael McSentis.
You woke up with a sore throat and a low-grade fever. You know you are getting sick, so here's your choices. You can get sicker and miss work, try to see a doctor this week, or sit hours in a crowded waiting room at urgent care.
I have a smarter option for you. Open your medical emergency kit, match your symptoms to doctor-recommended prescription in your booklet, and take the right meds now and get well faster.
This is not a first aid kit. It's like having an urgent care in your home. It includes doctor-prescribed medications to treat over 39 medical issues like respiratory infections, strep throat, pneumonia, UTIs, and more.
No waiting to see the doctor and no standing in line at the pharmacy. It's right here.
Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit, and here's how to order.
Go to worldviewhealthcare.com. Your kit to treat dozens of common and serious illnesses is rushed to your door. worldviewhealthcare.com. That's worldviewhealthcare.com.
The emergency kit available at worldviewhealthcare.com. Make sure you don't have to go to urgent care. I got pneumonia. I didn't have to go. I took this last year. Stayed at home. Went to bed.
Orange County is ready for new leadership, and that Orange County is ready to help take the lead again in the nation with leaders who are committed to our people. To the new Grand New Party, the team of Kennedy and Trump that came together to form the unity ticket. That unity ticket, when they came together on August 23rd and committed to this unity ticket, modeled after what Abraham Lincoln did to bring us through the Civil War, that is exactly what I said to myself. That is a party that I want to be a part of building, is that unity ticket, that team of rivals government that were truly there to represent the people and create solutions and get us through. We're not in a civil war like Abraham Lincoln was, but we're pretty darn close to it.
Welcome back to the Rob Maynard Show. We're live on Worldview Tube at our X Spaces simulcast. And that man, Michael McSentis, he is my guest today. He's running for Congress again, for the first time in Congressional District 47 in California. He's been out of the race, and he got back into the race because of what? Political power corruption in the political party is what it sounds like to me. And nobody's surprised there. Well, Michael, let's talk some more about policies that you want to bring back to California and to the rest of America. I like your slogan, people over policy, people over politics, people over party, because I believe that the America First movement is more than just about America First. It's about putting our citizens first as a priority. And I think that's why you see so much pushback from the establishment powers on both sides of the aisle, and the leftist corporate world, the globalist organizations and government entities that we've helped create since World War II, especially. I think that's why there's so much pushback, is because they can't stand to see the leadership of the United States of America from the federal to the local level be reoriented to do what they're supposed to do, which is put the American citizens' rights and prosperity before anything else. It's right in the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, it's become the buzzword, affordability. But I like to remind people, these things didn't just happen overnight. These issues have been growing substantially for years. And one of the things that gets overlooked is what is this debt due to us? When our government overspends, we couldn't run our families this way. We could never run a business this way. But they run our government where they print dollars in huge numbers and overspend. And that drives up the silent killer of everybody's income and everybody's investment, inflation. And people around here in California, as I'm sure around the country, dramatically see the impact on every aspect. And in California, in my district, and in most of California, but our district in particular, housing is the biggest cost that's just skyrocketed out of the capability of but a few hands to buy their first homes. And then behind that, the next biggest cost, and for many, the biggest cost is the cost of healthcare now for themselves or their families. And then third, the one that gets most talked about in California is the gas, but that, and that is something that's put before everybody, and every time they fill up, they see it. But in terms of the scale of the lack of affordability, is housing, healthcare are overwhelmingly the top two issues that can be, need to be addressed and can be. For example, I'd like to give, one of the things I want to explore in Congress and do is this issue of housing. We here in California are always talking about how we have a shortage of housing, et cetera. Well, there's a couple of things. As a baby boomer, and when I was buying homes and with my family, was you got a big tax break if you bought a home of equal or greater value. You didn't have to pay any gains tax. You had a big tax loopholes. Well, now with the baby boomers occupying so many of these homes that young families need, and the baby boomers' kids are all grown and gone, they don't need those homes at that size anymore. They want to downsize. But if they now downsize, they pay huge taxes on the homes that they want to sell. So they end up staying in homes that they don't want to be in, that are way too big for them, and that keeps them off the market and keeps the prices high. So the government could come in and take, flip that script on the taxes and say, if you want to downsize, you're going to get those tax benefits. You won't have to pay taxes. I wrote checks to the in taxes when I started the downsizing of my family of over $200,000. That would be $200,000 that somebody who's in retirement that they could live on, buy food that helps keep our local restaurants going and our local stores going. So we could change that tax immediately. That would have a big impact on freeing up homes for young families to move up, and senior citizens and people where their families are grown and gone to downsize. That would be one simple thing. And then eliminating the ability of corporations and foreigners to buy up housing. We're a market here where people come in from around the world and invest in our housing and buy properties. Many of them sit vacant, but they drive up the price, they pay cash, and they keep them off of the market. And the same thing with corporations. So there are some real laws that could be changed on how and who can buy homes that would dramatically open up the market, cap or drive down the cost of housing, and which is so significant to most. And this issue of healthcare with MAHA, if people start to get healthy and we fix our medical industry and system, that could significantly lower the cost of healthcare for people. But it takes time for that in particular to take hold. And that's why it's so important that we absolutely hold Congress right now, have people there that will support these agendas of America First and MAHA, so that we can codify those things that are being done, so that a change in administration can't override those, and the bureaucracy just outlive Kennedy and others and just wait them out. We saw what happened in 2018 when they just waited. Those people who are, I define a rhino as somebody who's been benefiting personally from the status quo. And we got a lot of people that are in that category that they're just waiting Trump out again, hoping that we'll lose the midterms so that they can say, well, I tried. Well, to hell with trying. We've got to do it.
Yeah, that's the political side. On the bureaucrat side, in the branch of the government that's not supposed to exist, it's too powerful. Now, the president's done some good things to reduce that power, but his executive orders aren't being codified adequately.
No.
They all need to be codified, and the Republican Congress isn't doing it. That's why a lot of people are frustrated with it. You know, where are you at on the idea that the president ran on, which I'm in total support of, which is bringing manufacturing home, but you know, and in the trades like steel manufacturing, shipbuilding is critically important. And we've decimated that industry, the automobile industry, we've decimated over decades of doing dumb things because Everybody was convinced we had to be part of this globalist economy when all we were doing was hurting Americans. What are your thoughts on that? And then you can add to it, you know, bringing troops home out of NATO, the 5,000 troops out of Germany. People are all up in arms over it, but there's no threat that requires them to be there right now. And President Eisenhower said, if NATO still exists in 10 years, then we've done a poor job at it. And it's still around even after the fall of the Soviet Union. Where are you at on all that stuff?
Well, first and foremost, I had totally supported Trump's tariffs approach, because that's exactly what Abraham Lincoln, again, used tariffs. And it's been used other times to bring back our manufacturing. We have allowed the American people on the backs of our workforces have rebuilt the rest of the world after both world wars. Mm-hmm. And it's time for us to rebuild America. And we need that industry. What Trump is doing with those tariffs and the re-patronizing of these businesses is crucial. We learned the reliance upon these foreign countries for our products that were necessary for our defense, for our healthcare, et cetera. We need to bring those manufacturing jobs back. And with AI and robotics and all this hitting us, we need the kind of skilled labor jobs that robotics and AI can't take away. So it's hugely important to rebuild our industrial base for American jobs and for good paying American jobs. So I'm a big supporter of what he did there. And this issue of NATO and foreign troops. Yeah, folks, it's time for us to let the rest of the world defend themselves and get out of there. But on the other hand, I would like to bring up real quick, if it's okay, this issue of Iran. This, to me, is a very important example of what America's founding principles were about. We were to be that light on the hill, to use our strength and our position when asked to help free the mechanisms of oppression from other people, to allow them to find their path to freedom and form their government their way. Iran is a perfect example. For 47 plus years now, they have been brutalized, raped, tortured, and oppressed in unconscionable ways. They've been asking for our help, and Trump had the courage to do what no president before him since Jimmy Carter did, and use our strength, not our military on the grounds, not our loss of life, but our economic strength and our military prowess to go in and lift those mechanisms of oppression from the people, the 93 million people, to allow them to rise up and to take back their country and form their government their way. And this former Shah's son, Reza Pahlavi, is somebody that will lead them to the ballot box so that they can form a government that suits their culture, their way. They are so grateful. The Persian people are so grateful in the Iranians for what Trump and America is doing. And also they're grateful for the Jewish people who are now helping them as well gain their freedom, because it goes back 2,500 years where Cyrus the Great, one of the early Persian Iran leaders, help free the Jews from their slavery. And they look at it as full karma coming full circle, where now the Jewish people are helping free the Iranian people. And what Trump is doing and leading in conjunction there is, I'm a total believer in and support of. And because it's going to take them a couple of years to form their government. And they will need to know that they have the support of us whenever required, to make sure that those people, the Ayatollahs and the Mullahs, don't have the ability with that radical extremism to come back and take back their country from these people.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I would just add to what you said, Michael, if you observe what this president, the United States, is doing now and compare it to what President Thomas Jefferson, I know it's an old name, but what he did when he sent the United States Navy and the United States Marine against the Islamist Barbary pirates that were attacking our commercial shipping, which is what the Iranians are doing too. They're not just attacking their own people. They're attacking commercial shipping. That's a core mission of the United States Navy and of the United States of America, to protect our own commerce anywhere in the world. And we're not going to have it. And I hope the president sticks with it. and to resolve to the point where either these Islamist pirates cave in or they're all dead, because the Iranian people deserve their freedom and to be prosperous once again and friends. Well, Michael, thank you so much for coming on the show. We appreciate it, folks. Go check him out, especially if you're in CD 47. He needs your vote. I'll see you tomorrow on Truth Thursday.
We have a big announcement, folks, something we've been waiting on for several months, and it's now here. It's called